Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome once again to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Our show is all about playmakers who are successful CEOs, successful business owners, and successful executives. Today we're going to talk about the ownership of the world's leading casual dining restaurants, and to understand about one of the top HVAC companies in North America. We have two great playmakers in the studio today. First is Scott Boxer. Scott is the CEO of Service Experts. We also have Doug Brooks, and Doug is a chairman of the board of Brinker International. And we're going to begin today's show with Scott. Scott Boxer is president and chief executive officer of Service Experts, which is North America's largest heating and air conditioning service company with 108 offices in the U.S. and Canada. Headquartered in Richardson, Texas, Service Experts has approximately $385 million in annual revenues and provides complete HVAC services for the residential and light commercial markets. Scott has an unbroken track record of growth, turnarounds, and profits as a P&L leader of manufacturing, distribution, service businesses of $40 million to $1.4 billion over 3 decades. As a nationally recognized leader in the HVAC business, he successfully ran the largest divisions of industry leaders Lennox and York, while also being tapped by their CEOs and boards for critical turnaround growth challenges. Scott, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here.
First thing I want to ask you, because it's a little bit unique, how did you get started in the air conditioning and heating business?
You know, I grew up in northern New Jersey, and back during the era when you could work in factories underage. So lo and behold, the first job I ever had was in a little factory in a town called Ridgefield, New Jersey, that manufactured rooftop air conditioners for Kmart.
Wow. And that's going back a ways.
Yeah, it was back in the mid-60s, so it is a ways back. And my first year working in that factory during the summer, I was asked to just clean the units before they went on the trucks. So the next year I got promoted, and I was putting insulation on the panels. And back in those days, there was no OSHA-approved glues. So you're using tar to put on the fiberglass, and you had to grow out of it after the summer was over because you couldn't
get it off.
Yeah. So each year I worked there, and I got more and more interested in the engineering side of the business, and I let the owners of that company know that I was going to go to university to become a manufacturing engineer. So they let me start learning more and more about the business. Probably more importantly, during that period of time, I really had some foundations of my management philosophies going forward. And the first thing I remember was, I was working on that assembly line, and it was a very highly unionized shop. And I just had my head down. I didn't know any better. I was working as hard as I could. I was working as many hours as I could. And lo and behold, some of the union reps came over to me and they said, "Scott, slow down here. We don't work that way in this factory." And that was probably my first lesson about, you know, being interfered with on how you wanted to present yourself in a job situation.
So you had never been union before?
Never been union. I was only like 16 years old at the time. So that was a key first learning for me. Another one was how much management and the factory workers didn't get along. There was no communication. It was a command and control environment. And I could see how ineffective it was in just that first exposure I had to doing business and being in a factory.
And I guess most of the people that you work with were much older than you.
Yeah, a lot older.
And back in those days, people tended to stay with one business without changing jobs all the time.
Yeah.
So they put up with this type of management style.
Absolutely. And you know, now that I reflect, you know, 45 years later, what some of those foundations were, they were formed right in that first job that I ever had. And then I went off to university and got my degree, and it was still back during the days that companies would come to college campuses to recruit. Now, it's starting to happen again, mm-hmm. but not very much. And York International, or York Borg Warner back in those days, which was a big air conditioning company, so that I had air conditioning on my little resume.
They probably jumped at you.
And that's how I got started in the business, and I've been there ever since.
Well, you really did start from the ground floor.
Yeah.
Doing probably the basic work that has to be done, and you've come to become CEO. You also have a lot of international experience, though, too. You didn't spend all your time in the U.S.,
right.
And you spent some time in Europe at a couple of different countries. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when I was 32, I had the opportunity to go run York International's operations in the U.K. and then all of Europe. And, you know, it was a little bit scary back then when you're 32 years old. And expatriates weren't a big thing back then.
And you had never been outside the United States?
Never been outside the U.S. So it was an opportunity for me to just pick up. I wasn't married yet. Pick up and just leave the country and start to learn a whole new culture and then a whole new way of doing business. And I took a two to three year assignment, and after 9 years, I thought I was going to spend the rest of my career in Europe.
That was in both UK and Belgium, is that correct?
Well, it was first in the UK, and then I came back to the US for 6 years. And then went back to Europe with Lennox International.
We were talking prior to the show beginning about the fact that HVAC is different in Europe as it is in the United States. What are some of those differences? How do they differ in both residential and commercial?
You know, air conditioning is relatively new, although it certainly has grown tremendously in the last 10 to 15 years. But air conditioning as a whole is relatively new in Europe. And residentially, just due to the construction of homes and the old homes converted into residences, most of them don't have any form of air conditioning. In the U.S., we like to use the term that we have ducted systems. So we run ductwork or flex duct throughout your whole home to get air conditioning in all the bedrooms and kitchens. And in Europe, because the buildings are so old, it's hard to run ductwork of any kind. So you put a more sophisticated air conditioner that's kind of made in Asia. It's called mini splits in each room. But it's much more acceptable in commercial environments. And it's been growing because of air quality and noise, because people used to leave their windows open in offices. And they'd have all the noise, and they'd have the bad air quality. So air conditioning has grown tremendously in the last, you know, about 15 years in Europe.
Do a lot of the residences in Europe have a lot more of the window units than there are in the United States?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the window, but it's the more sophisticated mini-split systems that have really, really grown. If you go to China or Japan or Korea or Malaysia, you'll see, you know, thousands and thousands of these mini splits, because that's how they cool more room to room than in the U.S.
So for all intents and purposes, you're retrofitting that home.
Correct. It's more of a retrofit than it is a new construction type environment.
So you've seen the differences both in Europe and the United States. We're speaking with Scott Boxer. Scott is the president and CEO of Service Experts, and it's all about HVAC, which is heating, ventilation, air conditioning. You can check their website, which is serviceexperts.com. We're going to continue talking to Scott. We've talked a little bit about his background and starting, I guess, just cleaning the units all the way up to CEO. We're going to talk a little bit more about service experts specifically. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of eight key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel, including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with the president and CEO of a company called Service Experts, and they have an interesting history. They were started in 1996. Scott Boxer is our guest. Tell us, Scott, how did Service Experts begin, and why did it actually begin?
Yeah, Service Experts was a consolidation effort, and back in the late 90s, there was a number of efforts to consolidate the HVAC industry. Just to give you an idea, there's over 100,000 small contractors throughout the United States and Canada. And there was companies like Service Experts that started to consolidate and buy up small contractors. And they did that for about a 3-to-4-year period. And Lennox International was also embarking on a similar exercise called Lennox Retail. And they decided to join forces with Service Experts in 2000. So all of a sudden, it went from, you know, one contractor to about 225. And Service Experts has been part of Lennox International up until about 3 months ago. And a team of people joined up with a private equity company, and we bought Service Experts from Lennox International. So although we started in 96, we're now a 3-month-old independent company.
And you are located virtually at where Lennox is in Richardson.
Right. Now, we will be moving up the road a few miles to our own headquarters building, but that'll be happening over the next few months.
One of the things that is so important in your business is culture.
Mm-hmm.
You've had interesting background starting from the ground up, and you've learned your management leadership styles as you went through.
Mm-hmm.
How with that many, you have 108 locations, how do you develop the culture in an mm-hmm. organization like that?
Yeah, and it is very difficult because all these companies had their own founders. Some of them are 20, 30, 40 years old, so they tended to have their own culture. So it's been difficult trying to put an umbrella culture over everything. But what we've tried to do over time, and it's something I learned early on, was the more you can get people involved in whether it's problem solving, process improvement, training, whatever it is, if you can get groups of people involved, it's amazing how the creativity and the ownership and accountability of those problems, issues, you always end up with a better solution. And I relate it to Good to Great, Jim Collins, the book. As you try and set create an environment that people feel safe to talk about, you know, what's working, what isn't working, versus an environment where people feel intimidated to talk about issues, you always end up, as you have that safe environment, you end up with better solutions, more creativity, and just a more empowered workforce. And every time I do it, I'm amazed. And when I forget to do it and I try and make a decision, it turns out to be not the right decision.
This has come a long way from when you were working as a union person, and you were being told what to do. This is right. How you do it. Don't think all the way up to turning this 180 degrees. You're really developing an engaged employee,
mm-hmm.
and because they're so engaged and because they're so creative, that actually helps the customer. Would you agree mm-hmm. with that?
Absolutely. As people feel that they have ownership and accountability, then when they go into somebody's home, they're recognizing that it's them that's selling the company. It's them that's representing the company, and it changes that approach. Now, can you get that all the way through? You know, we have 2,500 employees. It's a challenge. It's constantly talking about it. It's constantly training, retraining. You have turnover. You got to train new employees. So, you know, I don't think we're fully there, but we certainly are striving to get that ownership and accountability down to the absolute lowest level in an organization.
Now, you've only been doing this a few short months with the new ownership, but do you go out to your locations and visit mm-hmm. them and work with them to help develop that culture?
I wouldn't say I work with them, but I get the opportunity. And when I go out, I'll try and visit 5, 6, 7 locations in different cities and meet every employee that I could possibly meet, make them feel comfortable, let them know who's running the company so that they know that, hey, this is an environment that we're trying to create that you are very much a key part of. And I get energized every time I go out and do that.
I bet you do. Well, you've been in this business for 45-some years.
Yeah.
Have you spent time crawling through attics?
Absolutely.
Working on heating and air conditioning units?
Yeah, I've found the dead rats down in basements underneath homes and attics that are 120, 130 degrees. So I've done a little of all of that, and I have a real appreciation of the people that do that every day.
Well, I think they'll be an asset because there's probably very few things that the people in your business do that you haven't done before. You've been there.
Yeah,
you've been in their shoes.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have done all those things and now try and figure out how through my experiences, you can make a company grow, have people feel good about being part of that company, and just releasing that creativity so that we grow faster and we serve customers better and do all those things.
Well, the name like Service Experts, and those listening at serviceexperts.com, you have to give great service and mm-hmm. you are an expert. What do tell for the folks that have a home or have a business? What do you do?
Yeah, and one of the things that we try and educate homeowners about is that, you know, the air conditioning heating system is probably the single most expensive expenditure you could have or that you made when you built your house, and it can have a cost savings by keeping it maintained and efficient. So we encourage people to have service agreements, preferably with us, but with any HVAC contractor, and have twice a year kind of tune-ups. So before the heating season, before the cooling season. And by doing that, a lot of times you can prevent a very, very large expenditure from happening. And the other thing is, you know, indoor air quality in homes have become much, much more important as new construction has made homes tighter and tighter. No air leakage coming into the home. It's so important that that air is being circulated, and it's also being filtered to very, very high levels of filtration. You know, allergens, chemicals, and all those things. So, you know, we encourage people at these tune-ups that, you know, we put in higher efficient filtering systems and filters, and we change those out, you know, once at least every 6 months, preferably once every 3 months. So to a homeowner, the biggest thing I can encourage is to maintain your systems, just like an automobile needs the oil changed and the engine checked and the spark plugs changed. You know, those are the same things you want on the HVAC system. However, people don't think that way. They don't think about doing that.
Well, as long as it's working, I'm not thinking about
right.
it. But units have become a lot more sophisticated these days and doing a lot more things they did years ago. And a lot of people, well, they're going to last, what, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I would think the worst thing in the world is when in the middle of the summer, like right now, or in the middle of winter, it goes out.
Absolutely.
And you're stuck. So having a service contract avoids some of those problems ahead of time.
Also, not only avoids it, but also makes you a priority customer. Because when it turns 100 degrees here in Dallas, and everybody is, you know, has their air conditioning running and running and running, and if we get 40 calls and we only have 20 technicians, those that have a service agreement get priority first. And then we get to the next people right afterwards.
Last thing I want you to remember, if you didn't remember anything else from what Scott said, if you own a home or own a business, you need to have a service agreement to make sure they're taking a look at that. Mm-hmm. Scott, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show. Scott is the president and CEO of Service Experts. And again, you can check them out at serviceexperts.com. And by going to that website, it'll give you the closest service experts to you. And you can give them a call and find out exactly what to do to help. Again, Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Don't go away. We're going to talk about one of the companies that has one of the most interesting casual restaurant history in the world. We're going to talk to Doug Brooks of Brink International. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
More than a concert, it's the largest two-day country music event of the year. GNC Sierra presents Country Fair 2013, September 6th and 7th at Jackson Energy Pavilion.
Hey, this is Gary Allen.
Hey, we're Montgomery Gentry.
Hey, y'all, I'm Pat Green.
The Randy Rogers Band.
Hey, y'all, this is Randy Rogers.
Where else can you see Gary Allen, Pat Green, the Randy Rogers Band, and Montgomery Gentry for as low as $15? It's Country Fair 2013.
Tickets as low as $15.
Log on to LiveNation.com now and get yours. September 6th and 7th at Jackson Energy Pavilion. Log on to LiveNation.com now and get your $15 tickets. Country Fair 2013. From First Choice Emergency Room and powered by the all-new 2014 GMC Sierra.
Texas weather throws us lots of curves.
Plan for weather emergencies now at ntxweather.com. Interactive weather info and resource information sponsored by Clarity Windows and American Tornado.
About a week after they were supposed to resume but didn't, now the State Department says Israeli and Palestinian negotiators will get together tomorrow in Washington for peace talks after Israel agreed to release 104 Palestinian prisoners. UCLA political science professor Steven Spiegel says of the Israelis,
they want to talk and, if possible, get some interim solutions to test Palestinian ability to run the show themselves. Obviously, there's settlements that underlie this process as well.
Right now, about now in Spain, not far from the scene of that horrific train crash last week, the driver is expected to be questioned by a judge. The crash killed 75 people, including two Americans. In about an hour, Pope Francis gets a big send-off at the airport in Rio before he goes back to Rome. An estimated 3 million attended mass earlier. On a weekend in which about 80 protesters were gunned down by Egyptian security forces, Egypt's interim president has now given his prime minister power to let the military arrest civilians. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KLIF News and Information in the Morning
with Dave Williams and Amy Shadra.
The surf's up in Surfside.
Monday morning at 8:36, we'll wrap up our month-long series with the best beaches in Texas and a look at the beach that offers sun, surf, and horses.
Yes, horses. We'll also bring you up to date on all the latest news from the weekend.
And Bill Jackson gets you to work on time with traffic on the fives.
More stories, more news.
News and Information in the Morning, 6 till 9.
News and Information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2.
KLIF.
Managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills? Motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
It's a matter of national concern. Children across the country are at risk of forgetting what they learned in school last year. This is Kevin Bryant with urgent news for parents. A series of recent studies have proven that summer brain drain is very real. During the summer months, children can lose months of progress. Reports indicate it can hinder a child's performance in key subjects and cause them to fall behind in school. In order to aid parents, the creators of iFocus are giving away a free demo of their brain training video game to help kids in this area. The toll-free number is 1-800-750-2439. They say that playing the game sharpens your child's brain, helps prevent summer brain drain, and helps children focus. It keeps their brain in shape and prepared to learn. To get a free demo, your child must be between the ages of 6 and 12. Call 1-800-750-2439. That toll-free number again is 1-800-750-2439.
Right now, traffic on the fives, mornings and afternoons. We'll help you get there. News and information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2, KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about casual restaurants, two of them specifically, with a company called Brinker International. Our guest is Doug Brooks. Doug Brooks currently serves as chairman of the board for Brinker International, and the brands include Chili's Grill and Bar and Maggiano's Little Italy. Doug earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Hotel and Restaurant Management from the University of Houston in 1975. He joined Chili's in February of 78 as a manager of the company's original location, and some of you may remember, on Greenville Avenue in Dallas. He rose to the ranks at Chili's, holding numerous positions, including general manager, area director, and regional vice president. He was named president of the brand in 1994. In January 1999, 5 years later, he was promoted to president and COO of Brinker International. CEO and chairman of the board were added to his title and responsibilities in 2004. In January 2013, this year, Doug handed the reins over as CEO and president while remaining active as chairman of the board. Doug, thank you very much for joining us on Playmakers Talk Show.
Pleasure to be here with you, Steve.
Well, as most people know, if you follow music, you're a deadhead if you follow the Grateful Dead. But if you work within the Brinker family, you become a Brinkerhead. And I also understand with Chili's, it could be a Chili Head. Tell us about that.
Well, the restaurant industry is one of those organizations where a lot of young people, you work hard, your teammates become your family, and you have to have a strong culture. And part of that culture is what you call each other and how you behave and secret restaurant terminology. And at Chili's years ago, we became Chili Heads, and our parent company, Brinker, we have Brinker Heads. And those are affectionate terms if you're my teammate to be called a Chili Head.
I work a lot in customer service. And when you look at restaurants these days, most of them are very similar, except for the furnishings of the restaurant. They're all similar, but it's the customer service, is the way the employees are acting, and I guess that's your focus as you're working with your restaurants.
Well, it's interesting. A restaurant industry sells food, but it's about people. It always is about people, and you can distinguish a building, you can distinguish a menu, but if you don't execute the interaction between the guest and the teammate, people go somewhere else. You want to have great food, but it is about the way you're treated.
Well, apparently something's working well, because I looked at your corporate website, Brinker.com, understand that every single day, more than a million people dine at a Brinker International restaurant. That's a lot of responsibility.
That's a lot of meals that hopefully we execute in a positive fashion. But one of the challenges, of course, is you're only as good as your last meal, and people tend to have short memories. So we do have almost 1,600 restaurants in 50 states, 33 countries, two territories, all over the world. And that adds up to a million chances, hopefully, to serve a great meal, but also provide a great experience to one of our guests somewhere across the country.
And you visit every one of them, right?
And there was a time when I had been to everyone, but now that we're in too many places for that to happen.
I would think that, well, you have a corporate culture in Brinker International, but I would also think that the culture is a little bit different at a Chili's and a Maggiano's. Is that correct?
It is, Steve. And, you know, Scott was talking earlier. It is tricky. At one time, we had 9 different restaurant brands when I was chief operating officer in the late 90s. So you try to have a culture of the parent company, but then you do have to have individual cultures. And honestly, it becomes a challenge because people get confused sometimes. And one of our challenges, actually, in the late 2000s, were we had lost some of our culture. And one of the exciting things going on now is how we've sort of found ourselves again, and our results speak to that.
I moved to Dallas back in 1978, and I remember the original Chili's because you began in 1975. Norm Brinker got into that after it was started. Is that correct?
Right. The founder, Larry Levine, was actually a Highland Park High School graduate, a local Dallasite, and got some of his buddies and got $5,000 from a bunch of buddies, and they took over the lease of this old bar on Greenville and Meadow, and it became the first Chili's, opened March 13, 1975. Norman Brinker, who was already a restaurant icon and had founded some other brands, joined us in the summer of 1983 and sort of took the Larry was a great entrepreneur. Norman was an experienced businessman, a great strategist, great marketer, and he helped us go public in January of 84 and then grew a portfolio company. He changed everything. Norman was quite a leader, and he's still a part of our name.
Well, the quotation that I saw on your website from Norman Brinker was, go out and speak to people in person. That's part of which I guess you call the power of welcome.
Power of welcome, absolutely. Again, like I said, we sell food, but we're really a people business. And Norman was amazing. He was this great combination of a businessman, but also a great people person. He knew his numbers, but he also knew how to treat people. And he loved profits, but he knew you got profits through what Scott was talking about earlier. It's how you create accountability by getting everyone engaged in the process. The command and control type leader came up earlier, and, you know, we learn how to be command and control leaders very young when our parents tell us, I told you so. And then we have a teacher that tells us, I told you so. And then you have a coach that says, I told you so. And you tend to want to go to action. Well, we actually have a pyramid that we use as a visual teaching tool. And the top of the pyramid is actions and results. The bottom of the pyramid is experiences and beliefs. And if you can stop yourself before you tell someone what to do and ask them what they think and get them engaged in the process, then their ownership and accountability change their experience and belief, then the action they take will actually get the result you want. Because if not, they'll just point at Doug and say, well, Doug, that was your idea. I didn't get a chance to really give you my opinion. It's basic and it's powerful. And unfortunately, every day you have to remind yourself not to jump to action.
It's interesting you put that now into a formula. It's really the customer service formula. I saw on the website, it says, get real, make it right, give back. And going into a restaurant, as I mentioned before, restaurants are very similar these days. Sometimes they look very similar, even though they're different brands. What customers are looking for is that experience. And experience a little bit different in Chili's and Maggiano's, and it sounds like that's the direction you're moving in with all of this.
Well, it's the biggest challenge in the industry is that there's the supply and demand changed in the mid to late 2000s. There's an incredible supply and demand actually had stopped growing. And then the economy went backwards and we had the recession. And so the experience has to be unique and different. And of course, it certainly is. The beauty of Maggiano's and Chili's is they're very different brands. They can live in the portfolio and not compete. And in an earlier time, we probably had brands that were sharing the same guest and the same experience. And after the recession, we contracted our company and our business and feel great about the two businesses we currently have.
So your focus now is just on, it's probably been helpful to have two brands as compared to, as you said before, nine brands. So you can have that focus. Now, has that focus helped a lot more in building a brand?
Absolutely. So back in 2010, we looked at ourselves and realized our industry had matured, our company had matured, our consumer had changed, the economy had changed, really everything had changed but us. So in early 2010, we changed our strategies and what we found out, a lot of what consumers look for today is value. So a great opportunity today for me to tell folks listening to your program, if you haven't been to a Chili's in a long time or a Maggiano's, it's very, very different. So Chili's, we've added a lot of value to the menu. We have lunch combos whose price points are very similar to fast food restaurants or fast casual restaurants. We've upgraded steaks. We've actually changed our entire building. So we're going through a reimage process, invested about $180 million, and we're reimaging restaurants across the country. So the colors look different. The bars now have much more video, trying to get sports fans to come in. Very different experience. And at Maggiano's, we've also gone to value. We have something called classic pasta. If you go in and you buy one Italian meal, we give you a second one free to take home with you. So consumers want value, but they also then want a building that's relevant and contemporary. So if you haven't been to a Chili's or a Maggiano's a long time, give it a whirl. I think you'll be impressed with the changes we've made to both of those brands.
Well, there's a suggestion for you, and you want to get more information about Chili's or Maggiano's, you can go to their website, which is chilis.com or maggianos.com. What you're doing by having that value menu, you're really causing customers to come back more often. So even though it might cost a little less for me when I go, I actually end up spending more money because I'm coming more often because I'm enjoying the experience.
Ah, that salesmanship. That's great. Yeah, well, hopefully we can, I guess it's the old loss leader idea that grocery stores have. You advertise the half gallon of milk, and then when you get in, you find all these other great things you can't resist, like the molten cake at Chili's or one of those great desserts at Maggiano's. So, and we've upgraded our margarita lines, our classic cocktails. So lots of options when you get there. But if you are on a tight budget, we do have great value options for you that taste great.
And one of the things I enjoy when I go to restaurants, and it's happened when I've been to Chili's and Maggiano's, is that person, the wait person who actually sells you on that margarita or that dessert and sells the benefits of why you should have it. And that's what's so much fun.
It's a one-on-one experience.
Doug Brooks is our guest. He is the chairman of the board for Brinker International, which has two brands, Chili's and Maggiano's. One of the things that Brinker International does is focus on giving and nonprofit organizations. We're going to talk to Doug about that. Stay with us. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of eight key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Doug Brooks. Doug is the chairman of the board for Brinker International, but he's held almost every other position at Brinker International. But in speaking with Doug during the break, Doug, like Scott Boxer in the first segment of our show, started at the very beginning. Doug, you've worked almost every job from the lowest job at a fast food restaurant all the way on up.
Yeah, luckily, I was a family, a big Catholic family with no money, 8 kids, and knew I had to earn some money. So at 13, I rode my bike to Youngblood's Fried Chicken restaurant at Preston Forest Shopping Center. Most people today would see the Starbucks that sits there. I'm the only customer that walks in today and can smell fried chicken cooking when I buy my coffee. But it's right by the Brinker office, so it's actually very close to home. Then worked at Burger King, and then ended up in college in a dorm where I lived and managed the cafeteria and ran the snack bar and then became a bartender. So I found out you get a discount or free food when you work in a restaurant. You don't have to be very smart. So I knew for both those reasons I was perfect for the restaurant industry. And it does, when you become a manager, though, it helps to sort of have that street cred. I have walked in the shoes of everybody. So from washing dishes to bussing tables to cooking behind the line, bartending, et cetera, waiting on tables. It's a great business, but it does help to have done it. To understand what your own team members are going through every day.
And you can learn some of the skills, too. When I think of a bartender, I think of the movie with Tom Cruise. I believe it was called Cocktails.
Well, it's called Cocktail.
Where he's flipping the bottles and making the drinks. I can see you doing that behind a bar.
Yeah, bartending was a fantastic job. You met people and you got to act cool even if you weren't cool, and that was kind of my story.
And you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the aspects of Brinker International, and most people know the name Brinker as it ties in with nonprofits, and that seems like it's a big part of your business, giving back rather than just taking.
Oh, it's just years ago, when Norman Brinker first joined the organization, he'd been very involved with his wife, Nancy, starting the Susan Komen Foundation, and he taught us that line that who much is given, much is required, and just felt like it was important to do. A successful company should give back. And by the way, it does help align you with your guests. So Brinker, for years, we've had a lot of different events in Dallas, golf tournaments, 10K runs. We currently do a golf tournament, and one of our recipients has been the Scottish Rite, Texas Scottish Rite Children's Hospital, a great group here that helps young kids up to 18 years old with orthopedic issues. We've also aligned with a group called the Kenny Can Foundation, Ken Dennis, a Brinker executive, died of brain cancer. We've raised money for brain cancer research. North Texas Junior PGA helps us put on golf tournaments, and that money goes to help young boys and girls learn about golf and learn about all the great things about golf, the discipline and the integrity. And so Brinker's done that. Then Chili's and Maggiano's both have aligned with national charities. Chili's has had a fantastic relationship with St. Jude Children's Hospital. In fact, 10 years ago, we made an oral $50 million commitment to St. Jude. And after 9 years, we've now raised $46 million. This September, we will raise the remaining $4 million to hit our goal that we talked about 10 years ago. We actually have a building on the campus at St. Jude Hospital called the Chili's Care Center. It's a 7-story, 300,000-square-foot research and actually patient care building. And I'm on this board of advisors at St. Jude. And when you meet a family whose child has been cured of cancer in the Chili's Care Center and they come up and hug you and say, "Your company saved my children's life," it puts in perspective. It's a great thing to serve Steve a great hamburger or steak, but to have your company say that you've saved children's lives is much more powerful than that. So every September, if you go into every Chili's in the United States, we give you a chance to color a pepper. Give us a dollar.
Is that the Create a Pepper?
Create a Pepper campaign. Mm-hmm. And those dollars have added up to $46 million and saved hundreds and hundreds of kids' lives.
That's during the month of September.
The month of September in any Chili's restaurant. You'll see the peppers hung all over the building, so you know what's going on. Then Maggiano's, again, a much smaller brand, 44 locations, aligned years ago with Make-A-Wish Foundation. And in fact, they've now become one of the top 10 Make-A-Wish fundraisers. They just recently completed their annual fundraising with Make-A-Wish and raised over $700,000 in just 44 restaurants. And that's basically 180 wishes. So for kids or families who have little hope, we've become partners in helping provide the trip to Disney World or whatever their dream is. And the Maggiano's folks take it very seriously. They usually host a couple of parties in their banquet rooms for the kids. And whatever the child wants to be, our team members will dress up and put on a show for them. So, again, it's about giving back. So at Brinker or at Chili's or at Maggiano's, we all have different groups that we have aligned with. And our team members take it very seriously. They don't just want to cut a check. They want to actually go and work and be involved and engaged in an event that helps. And it's an important part of the legacy of our company is not just serving great food, but also giving back to the communities that we do business in.
Do some of the restaurants also do their own charitable work locally with other charities?
They do. They do. But what we found out years ago was it was easy for Doug, the CEO, to say, "Hey, do some local charity." But our restaurant managers are already working 60, 70 hours a week. They don't have the marketing background. They don't have copying machines. So the beauty of the Make-A-Wish and the St. Jude is we provide all of the all the stuff for them. All they have to do is open their doors and create the experience. But all the work behind the scenes is done by trained marketers and trained folks who do that for a living.
So it makes it easy for them to do that.
Makes it easy for
them.
Right.
But you also serve on the board of directors for Limbs for Life Foundation.
Sure. So interesting, Steve, yesterday, 1998, so it was actually July 22nd, I was training for the New York Marathon on a 10-mile run in Plano one morning, and turned out I was on the wrong sidewalk at the wrong time, and a couple of cars collided, and unfortunately, one of them came and hit me and took me through a brick wall. And after almost bleeding to death on the Plano sidewalk, I got the helicopter ride to Parkland Hospital, where unfortunately I had to amputate my left leg above the knee. So 15 years ago, I was in a pretty dark place. Luckily, I have an incredible wife, Holly, who supported me, but also lots of folks that I work with. And so I got a prosthetic leg and was asked to join the board of a group, a very fantastic group called Limbs for Life, that raises money for amputees who can't afford it. So we talked earlier about the cost of an air conditioner unit or heating unit in the house. So the cost of a limb, $20,000, $30,000 to provide a limb and needs tune-up like a car. So most people can't afford it. If you don't have a leg, you probably don't have a job, which means you don't have insurance. So what Limbs for Life does is basically put a leg on you so you can get back in the workforce and get insurance. So they'll pay for your next leg, and then we'll go on to the next person. So my wife and I, Holly and I, have been on the board actually for almost all of the last 15 years, raising funds, and a number of people at Brinker have helped support us. We do an annual fundraiser every year, and it's been a very wonderful time getting a chance to, again, help folks who have don't have a leg to stand on, I can say that, and give them that leg so that they can have a full life again. And many of them are parents with children or, you know, whatever, but we get them back in the workforce and we give them their life back. We give them a leg, but what we really do is give them their life back.
It's a ripple effect because once they have the leg, then they can do what they need to do. But without that, they're stuck.
I can tell you.
There's not a whole lot they can do.
Yeah, from the times when my leg is being worked on or I had an infection one time, living on crutches or in a wheelchair, there is no life. And with a prosthetic limb, you can do almost anything. I can play a pretty mean round of golf and whitewater canoe. I've snorkeled, scuba dive, almost everything I did before except run marathons I can do now. So it's been very fulfilling for us, but also a lot of our friends. Again, so family members, friends, folks at Brinker have also been a part of Limbs for Life. And in fact, it is also a recipient of the Brinker Golf Tournament, Limbs for Life Foundation. So a lot of great, there's a lot of great groups out there, as you know. Brinker's proud, and I've been proud to have been able to be a part of raising funds for some of those great charities.
So all these things are coming together, but since you have gone through that experience, would you say attitude is the biggest part of what you went through?
It is absolutely. It's a physical injury, but it's all about your mind. And I have met other amputees who honestly, I didn't want to spend time around because they, as I probably did in the beginning, you have pity parties. You want to say, why me? And you want to make excuses. And the sooner Holly, my wonderful wife now of 36 years, basically, she knew when to hug me and when to kind of kick me on the butt and basically said, what you find out is people come to your hospital a couple times, they go back to their life. You're on your own. So the moment the pity party stopped and I said, okay, now I need to get back on that horse and see what I can do. And in my role at Brinker, I was able to use that pulpit as a chance to influence. And many business partners of ours also come to our benefit. So Brinker has been at the center of influence a lot of people for Limbs for Life, for Scottish Rite Hospital, for Kenny Can Foundation, for Make-A-Wish, and obviously for St. Jude Children's Hospital.
Well, you've done a lot, both with the nonprofit, being involved yourself, and also with your business. You've been in the food business for all intents and purposes, your entire life and business life. Can you think of one thing that really turned you around, something or somebody that got you in the right direction or had a major influence on your life?
Well, the two people that had the influence on my life, first, my mom. So my father died in an airplane crash when I was 7. So my mother raised 8 children basically by herself. And she was one of those people that when you met her, you felt like you were the only person she met that day. And then Norman Brinker. When Norman Brinker joined our company, like I said, he was an amazing influence. He knew the business, but he also knew how to motivate people and get them excited. So Mom and Norman Brinker were the two people that influenced me the most.
Doug, thank you very much for being part of Playmakers Talk Show. Doug Brooks is the chairman of the board for Brinker International, which is Chili's Maggiano's. My name is Steve Klein. You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show. We're here at the same time every week. You can go to playmakerstalkshow.com, get all the information about our current guests and our past guests, including the archive on the website. You can listen to any of the past shows. Please join us next week. It's all about playmakers. Successful CEOs will be back here. Join us same time next week. I'm Steve Klein. See you then.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer gives a fast, accurate temperature reading with just a gentle forehead scan and is used and recommended by more medical professionals everywhere. Here's what a real Exergen customer had to say.
This is a wonderful product. When I was in the hospital having my baby, the nurses used one to take my temperature, so I decided to get one. It's a fantastic product. I recommend everyone.
Backed by over 50 published medical studies, more than any other thermometer, know you're getting the best. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
KLIF.
KLIF Dallas. KSES FM HD2 420.